This time it's gone 8 to 10 on Impact 103 FM's Morning Drive. And you're going to really be encouraged by an interview by Yolande Corky. Great to have you in on air. And once again, our monthly feature with Yolande Corky, or should I rather say Crisis Response Network. Welcome back to Impact Radio, Yolande.
Oh, thank you, Birgitta. It is so exciting to be with you all this morning.
Talking about exciting, you at Crisis Response Network and your team have been doing really exciting things. Mm. In fact, you and some of the members of your team recently went to go visit the South Sudanese refugees in Uganda. Why did you go there, and what is it about that drew you to that refugee camp, Yolande?
Thanks, Birgitta. Oh, I have so much to share this morning, so I hope the time will really go slowly so I can speak a lot. But let me just give a little bit of background again so that our listeners who've not heard us before just understand the context of the ministry. So CRN forms part of the In Context International offices. And In Context serves the body of Christ by providing a Christian perspective on global news to encourage strategic mission involvement. And we do this by investigating and interpreting the news, and then we inform the church so that they are strategically involved. And that's where the Crisis Response Network, or the CRN part, comes in. We're that involvement part. And we basically network with our grassroots partners in times of crisis to alleviate suffering and also to encourage restoration of communities. So, as to the why did we go to Uganda? Well, our trip started actually in Tanzania. We visited the In Context International regional offices in Tanzania. We were invited to a conference that they were hosting called Africa Rising. And just something very encouraging that we experienced with our time there in Tanzania was to see the local church. There were about 29 different denominations attending that conference, and how they rose up and embraced and encouraged their refugee brothers and sisters like an older brother. And for some, it was like an experience, like a father whom some of them have never experienced. So that was extremely encouraging. And then with that burning in our hearts, we moved, a few of us moved over to Uganda, up to the northern parts where the refugee camps are. What a beautiful country. I just want to say that on the side. Really, we had an amazing welcome by the teams on the ground. And we went there, obviously, to visit the project that our In Context partner on the ground, as well as our other partners, Community Development Center, which is the NGO by the South Sudanese, were facilitating. So we basically visited the South Sudanese refugee community, because that is where our partners are located. And it was, of course, as the reader or the listeners can be reminded, it is a project to end, or to work towards ending, child marriage. And there they were running six, with six community educators, they were running six workshops every day with various groups of teenage boys and girls, educating them according to a godly covenant of marriage, sexuality, and then some sexual education, as well as the dangers of child marriage, not only to the girls themselves, but to the community at large. So we were invited and taken around by our partners to the various groups. We could interact with the groups. We visited some of the orphans that wanted to also be in the next round of these facilitating workshops. And it was just an incredible encouragement and a humbling experience, Birgitta. I wish I could take everybody on a trip like this.
It sounds like something that is very hard to describe. You kind of need to be in that environment to understand what exactly those kind of details, and feel also God's presence while you are in those workshops and doing the will of the kingdom. Are there any stories from these beneficiaries that you are allowed to share with us?
Oh, yes. I would just love to share maybe two short stories, and we have permission from the girls that as we visited their groups towards the end of every session, then the facilitator would ask us there anybody that has a testimony. And it was just heartbreaking to hear some of these stories. But here are two stories for our listeners, in which they can take with him. And I want to start with a scripture in Proverbs 31, verse 8, that says, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, and ensure justice for those being crushed." And I want our listeners this morning, when you listen to these stories, forget about me, just hear their voices as I share their stories. So the first story was from a girl about 16 and a half years old. She had been living in South Sudan when her parents were killed before her very eyes. And she ran away, escaped with her own life, with nothing on her. She can't really recall her journey, but she found herself in Rhino Camp, the camp that we were visiting a few years ago. And there she found a household of a far-off relative, a woman that was a relative of her late mother. And she joined the family because she had nobody else that she knew. In that household, there were about already 9 or 8 other children. Some were the family's own children, and some were also orphans like herself. And then she realized at some stage, but this mother of this household had no income. She had no husband. There was no food. There was no money to go to school. It was a very, very serious situation. And she got enticed to marry an older man. And soon she found out that he was abusing her, that he had several other women that he was sleeping with, and she had no choice but to go back to this household. And then she also moved on to another area of the camp where there were girls being cared for at a semi-orphanage that they put up the community. So she ended up in one of these training sessions, and she just expressed her joy at finding other people that had a similar story to hers, finding people that really cared for her. So that was very encouraging for us to hear. And she also expressed that she wanted to encourage other girls to get knowledge and empower themselves to understand that they should not get married at a young age in the idea of escaping a situation that they find themselves in. The other girl is even more serious, the story. She was also in a household, but this was her own family, and she just also figured out that there was no income. She was just 14 years old, no way for her to finish her school, and she ran away with her boyfriend, fell pregnant, and when she figured out and realized what had gone wrong and what had happened to her, she wanted to commit suicide. And then on her way to committing suicide, she was just crying when she shared this testimony. She said that she found a girl walking towards her that she had seen at school. It wasn't really a good friend of her, but the girl said to her, "Oh, where are you going today?" And she said, "Somewhere." And the girl said to her, "Well, I'm on my way to attend a workshop just to hear about the dangers of child marriage and early pregnancy, and I have made so many new friends. Please come and join us." And at that very moment, she turned around, took the girl's hand, and went to the workshop. And during that workshop, she decided not to commit suicide. She gave her life, renewed her commitment to Jesus, and she found a new group of support in these workshop groups. And I think that's what I want to also leave with our listeners, is the support that these girls and boys are finding in their groups now, that they have formed a small community themselves, trying to help each other and support and encourage each other to share the knowledge and the love that they've experienced with their parents or their caregivers or their other friends and siblings in the community. So these are just two short stories, Birgitta, I wish I had all day to share.
Amazing stories, and wow, such powerful stories. These women, these young girls, aged 16 and 14, finding themselves in dire situations, desperate situations. And that second story is just to see how God works in mysterious ways. I mean, that was a divine appointment for that girl, and her life has been saved through that. So well done for what you guys are doing at In Context and Crisis Response Network. What gives these girls hope, Yolandi? What is it that gets them going and gives them a sense of purpose?
Sure, Birgitta, I can so much relate with where they find themselves. You know, the situation in the camp is really dire. There's basic necessities aren't even there. And yet I'm finding we found a community filled with faith, filled with encouragement for each other, filled, renewed, strengthened every day by the word of God. I know that we only visit a small percentage of the camp. You know, this camp hosts over 1 million refugees from various countries, and we maybe interacted with about 500 people, but yet to find this hope, this piece of light in this very, very dire and dark part of their lives is just so encouraging. And to see their dependency, I remember as a hostage, how incredibly dependent we had become upon the Lord and His Word. And I just could see this in them. They were just really clinging to the Lord's promises, to his encouragement. And we could go and remind them that God has not forgotten their cries, that there is a wider body of Christ praying for them, that we were just there representing the body of Christ in the world and saying, you're not forgotten, you're loved by God, He has His eye on you. And although it might seem slow, His responses, He is working for the good, even though evil was done to you.
Such important, Yolandi, it's such important information to be hearing about and to be knowing about what's happening around the world. This is in Uganda and South Sudan where your camps are, where you go and you do these ministries. But there's also challenges in South Africa. And why is it important for us to be supporting people, even though they're not in South Africa, they're on the African continent? Why is it important?
Yeah, these are our brothers and sisters. You know, the word says when one part of the body suffers, all of us suffer. And yes, we live in South Africa, and we see the challenges here as well. And we are involved. Many of our listeners are involved in their communities. But yet we've got a wider body suffering in Africa, and we need to be part of that a journey to support them and be the practical outflow of Jesus' hands and feet. And there are so many ways that our listeners can get involved, even if it's just in a small manner. And one of them is just to sign up for alerts on our website or even on the In Context website for a weekly or a Pray for the Nations that you receive in your inbox. You can invite us to come and speak at your small group or your church so that we can share photos and more stories. You can be on social media and share the stories. You know, in August, we will be running a full month of sharing of stories from the South Sudanese refugees and those that we visited and their stories and their thank yous, their appreciation to you that made this trip possible and made the outreach possible. You know, we took with us packets and packets of washable sanitary wear, 650 of them that were made by various partners like Jesse Pads, Lily Bits, Hope Central Church, Beyond Borders, Roaming Context International, and the Malpos and Raifi communities in Cape Town. Share these messages on your platforms, your favorite ones, and then you can also donate. You know, CRN does not keep back any of your donation for our operational costs. If you give 100 rand, we give that 100 rand, and we seek to do that through grassroots partners. So we're not importing any expensive products. We are just supporting the initiatives on the ground in their local currencies, and this goes so much further. So even though you may feel, wow, I've only got a 50 or 100 rand to support these projects, that is a lot for them. That makes the difference. That has made what the difference for this project. And I want to thank you. Thank everybody that's been a part of this project. The encouragement has been huge. The community dialogues will go on within the next month when their schools close, and they will have soccer friendlies, and they are also encouraging involvement from parents as well as from community leaders and elders. So y'all, please be a part. Brigida, I just want to share one short story quickly, if I can.
Of course, yes.
During one of our workshop interactions, you'll remember Lebo Magugu, who spoke last month.
Yes.
And she shared about the Beyond Borders project. Now, Lebo joined us on this trip, and just you know, none of us were prepared to encourage these girls, but yet God every time gave a message. And in one of her messages that she gave to one of the groups, she came up with a slogan, and this slogan ended up being the slogan for the camp. And everywhere we walked in the next 3 or 4 days that we were there, everybody was chanting the slogan. So the slogan is also for our youth out there today, even for any adult where you are and you find yourself now. So I'm going to teach this to you all today. And wherever we go in South Africa, let's remind each other of this. So it goes like this. Do the right thing at the right time with the right people in the right place. So let's say that together.
Do the right thing at the right time with the right people in the right place. Wow.
Yes.
Phenomenal. Amazing. Yolande Corky, thank you so much for this interview. Powerful interview that we do on a monthly basis, getting a feedback from you, what Crisis Network or Response Network and In Context are doing. And if you are listening to this interview and you want to find out more, send me a WhatsApp on 071-364-0376 and I'll send you the link to the contact details of this amazing organization that is the hands and the feet of the Kingdom of God in and on the African continent, doing phenomenal things. Yolande, thank you so much for your time this morning and for giving us an update and some feedback and informing us as to what is happening in Africa and that project that you were saying that it's, wow, that story, She's a Bride, Not a Child, that is a project that you are working with your partners on. So thank you so much, and looking forward to an interview with you at the end of August again.
Thank you. Bless you.